Hello and welcome to Python 411, computer programming for everybody. This is a podcast about the joy of hacking. You know, one of the first things that I hear from people after they learn the basics of programming in Python is, what should I program? People, you know, they have a hard time coming up with ideas. And so this little podcast on the joy of hacking is about how to get started. After I do my little spiel on that, I'm going to have some announcements, some very interesting announcements, more interesting than normal, four or five of them, things going on in the Python community. So please stick around for that. And away we go. Perhaps the best way to go about it, rather than trying to start your own project, is to pick an existing open source project. There are thousands to choose from. You can go to SourceForge and find one, or just cruise the Usenet news group and find one. I mean, Google on a particular topic associated with Python, there are thousands to choose from. It's a lot easier to pick an existing project than to create one all by yourself. You can get, you can start by studying the code. Study the code, and, you know, Python is very modular and object-oriented, so it's very easy to understand. And as you get familiar with the code and play with the actual application or tool and figure out something little that you would like to add, some feature that is missing or that you can think of that would help you, the smaller the better, because you want it to be easy to code that first feature. So you study the code, you make a small change in your mind, and then you implement it in code. Once you've done that, you can go to a more aggressive additional feature and add a few features and take your time. And that's really one of the most important pieces of advice I have is take your time. Don't necessarily try to do everything at once. Make small changes. Experiment. And think of small additions or improvements that can be made to the program. Become intimate with the detailed workings of the application. Join a mailing list to deal with that application. Many of these open source projects have that. And go at it step by step. Live with it. Sleep with it. And believe me, ideas will come to you in time. Time they come to me is in my dreams. If I'm really hacking on a project and thinking about it a lot, then when I lay down at night, my mind wanders and thinks about the solutions. And you know what? It's effortless. And I tend to come up with ways to proceed during the next day. And that's kind of neat. So, and there's also a process of serendipity involved where expect the unexpected, because by dealing with a program and trying to implement one small feature, you'll think of other features because you're getting close to the code and you're getting close to the functionality. And you also, of course, study the functionality of the program itself, the application. Anyway, this is the process that I've been going through with my favorite open source project right now, which is FireDrop. It's got a great user community, and I recommend it. And next week, I'm not going to tell you what it's going to be, but I have an interview with the creator of another open source project, a brand new open source application, and it's another one you could get involved in. So there's lots, as I say, lots of applications for you to get involved in. Then after that podcast next week, we'll go back to some more technical learning and tutorial type work, and I think that you'll like the lineup to come in the coming weeks for sure. But now let's move on to the announcements, because they're quite important. First of all, I got an email from Paul Brody right after I published the last episode of Python 411, and he wanted me to just mention that EuroPython is getting ready to take place in Europe, and it's the European version of PyCon, and so I want to really give this top billing, and I know that there's a lot of listeners in Europe, and this, if I were in Europe, I'd be going to EuroCon, I assure you. So when is it? It is the 3rd of July through the 5th of July. So the 3rd, 4th, and 5th of July, only 1 month from today, in CERN, Switzerland. That's CERN, Switzerland, near Geneva. So right there in one of the most beautiful spots in the world, and right in the middle of the summer, is EuroPython. And you really, really don't want to miss it. Secondly, the Google Summer of Code has announced the Python projects that are being funded for this year. And since I expressed earlier a great interest that we get good projects, I'm really pleased to report, having looked them over, that they're even better than last year, in my opinion. I believe there's a 25 or so projects that are directly related to Python being funded by Google. Do no evil. I love Google, the company. And these projects, I'll put a link, of course, on the show notes in the discussion forum to this and the other things I discuss. But you really should check out the projects. They're really wonderful. And if you are going to be a college student like next year, I believe you have to be a college student, you got a whole year to plan for next year. Think about what you would like to contribute. What would you like to do? This could be summer employment, paid summer employment, working for a company that does no evil and relates to Python and helps Python. And, of course, even if you are not a student, if you have an open source project or an idea that you would like to mentor a college student or two or three, let's think ahead. You know, we're planning and tool-making creatures, so let's think ahead. But this year's Google Summer of Code Python projects are fabulous. Okay, next, I just want to say that there is a new version of Python Card released a couple weeks ago. And Python Card is perhaps, well, certainly one of, if not the, it is perhaps the easiest way to create a GUI with Python. It uses the WXPython toolkit, but it is a it's a tool for creating GUI forms and controls. And there's a new version, which there hadn't been one in a while, and it's, so it's a big improvement. I recommend you check it out. It's cross-platform, Linux, Macintosh, or Windows, and check it out. Okay, last but not least, JavaScript. The creator of JavaScript is named Brendan Eich, and my son and I had the privilege of meeting him four years ago. There was, for 3 years or 4 years in a row, there was a meeting in Boston called the Lightweight Languages Conference. It was at MIT, and some Pythonistas of fame gave talks on Python, which is one of the reasons I went, but also to expose my son and myself to lots of lightweight languages, as they were called. And these were creative, some of them state-of-the-art languages, but among, you know, in addition to Python and other existing languages, Brendan Eich gave a talk about JavaScript, and he's an interesting fellow, and he pointed out at that time that while JavaScript didn't get much respect, it just perhaps might be the most used programming language in the world because of its ubiquity on the web. Well, he's under a lot of pressure now to come up with JavaScript 2.0 and do a lot of fancy things, and he put a presentation on the web that you just got to see. I'll point you to it in my show notes. But basically, he said, we're going to do it like Python. He said, Python does it right. The evolution of Python in recent years, adding innovative new features without destroying the integrity of the underlying language, that's what he wants for JavaScript. He's going to follow the example of Python wherever possible in the features he has. He wants to add the features that Python has added over the last few years and do it in a similar way to the way Guido von Rossum has led the Python core team to do things. So what a compliment to Python, first off. And secondly, this presentation, which is quite detailed on the web, I think you'll find it very educational. So again, I'm going to put a link to that in the discussion forum on my website so that you really, really should check it out. It's even if you don't program in JavaScript, it absolutely is something that is be of interest to anyone interested in dynamic languages and the evolution of programming languages and Brendan Eich's thoughts about Python, among other things. And just one other thing I'll add is that, you know, JavaScript, while it does maybe not get a lot of respect, but basically I find that it integrates pretty well with Python. You know, as if you want to create an interface for Python on the web and use HTML forms and tables and a little bit of JavaScript, then it's a powerful combination with Python to do the more complex language work that you need to do. So there you go. I think that about wraps it up. This is a short podcast, but we'll be back every week, and we'll be giving you, I think, a lot of educational material over the next few weeks. So get ready for some excitement, and away we go. This is Ron Stevens, your host at Python 411. And lastly, again, if you have an open source project you'd like to talk about in an interview, that's, you know, just give me an email, and I'll I'll be glad to oblige you. For now, this is Python 411, computer programming for everybody.